Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, comment, we got it all. Just a minute away. Stay here. As always, encouraging you to be a part of this local Christian radio station. Always needing money. I don't care where this is being heard around the country. This station needs you, needs your finances. They're praying for it. You're praying for it. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving at the end of the program. What are you thankful for? I know the station is thankful that you're listening and playing a big part in their operation in your community. So keep up the good work, my listening friend. Yep. Support Christian radio in every way you possibly can. Pray for them. Give. All those things that keep Christian radio on the air in this part of the country. And we'll thank you in advance. Two more things. Encourage you to get a copy of our newest book. It's called Living in Today's World, 20 Stories. Things have happened in our life in the last few decades in evangelism and through the local church. Available at Greg Patton Ministries, Southwest Radio Church, Amazon. It's out there. And soon, The Invisible War of the Saints, Victor or Victim. Many of you have already pre-ordered that through Southwest Radio Church and Greg Patton Ministries. Thank you very much. For those in the Tri-City area, we're coming down for Share-a-thon, February 20th, that whole week. If you'd like to have us, we're about to close out the first half of 2022, so get in touch now. And one more time for all of you folks in Las Vegas, thank you. Sunrise Bible and those who attended our recent Southwest Radio Church Bible Conference. I was so blessed. Thank those of you that prayed for my grandson in critical condition with surgery yesterday. He suffered a near fatal gunshot wound, but he had a miraculous surgery and recovering today. Hundreds of you, thank you. What a great team out there. What in the world is going on? Inquiring minds want to know today. What really happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin? You know, attempts at criminal bail reform that put violent offenders like Daryl Brooks Jr. out on the streets again at low or no cost at all is endangering communities all over America, probably yours. That, according to the experts on criminal justice and law enforcement, probably something you already knew. Police in Milwaukee, New York, Chicago, L.A., other places, all facing understaffing and very low morale today, in part due to such policies. According to Betsy Bratner Smith, a retired police sergeant and spokesperson for the National Police Association, these extremely liberal prosecutors, where's my gun, who want to talk about restorative justice, and what that means is that we are putting the public in danger by trying to give certain people too many opportunities to reoffend and kill, she said. It's incredibly frustrating for law enforcement, and it's just absolutely dangerous to our communities. She pointed to Milwaukee's prosecutor's decision earlier this month to request just $1,000 bail for Brooks, who had a violent criminal history stretching back to 1999 and an active warrant for jumping bail on a sex crime out in Nevada. Bratner Smith acknowledged that high bail for minor and nonviolent offenses is unfair, but Brooks' history is extreme. Multiple firearms and battery convictions and strangulation and sex offenses and drug charges on a, get this, 50-page rap sheet that spans three states. That is just unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Six people died in all of that. Three grandmas and an 8-year-old boy. 47 people injured very badly, many of them children. Police say the man who did this is a career criminal, again, Daryl Brooks, BLM activist. As of today, still not sure why this mass murder. Instead, the media and local authorities have decided to speak out for him. And the main thing they want you to know is that these killings had absolutely nothing to do with the thing that happened with Kyle Rittenhouse and that verdict just 2 days before there in Wisconsin. Nothing whatsoever. Not a thing. The timing is just one of those amazing, amazing coincidences that happen in life. No evidence that this was a terrorist incident. None. But if indiscriminately murdering women and children at a Christmas parade isn't terrorism, then I think we should ask today, what in the world is it? A vehicular mishap? As usual, I think the left-leaning loonies are leaning to the left, and they're going to bury this thing somehow. Well, time and time and time again, I've given you my thoughts on Black Lives Matter. Now an activist for the Milwaukee BLM said the Christmas parade attack there in Waukesha appears to signal the revolution may have begun. What? I don't know. Now we'll have to wait and see because they do have somebody in custody. We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened. Von Mays said on Facebook Live on Monday, but it sounds possible, that the revolution has started now in Wisconsin. It started with this Christmas parade. Mays is a well-known activist in Milwaukee. He describes himself as a battle rapper, community activist, songwriter, tattoo artist, militant, and nutcase. Oh, that, I threw that in there. Good grief, Charlie Brown. The revolution has begun. Number 13 today, Wednesday today, marks the 13th day of the trial and second degree day of jury deliberations in the Ahmaud Arbery trial down there in Georgia. 12-person jury began deliberations. That was on Tuesday. Travis McMichael, 35, his father, Greg, 65, neighbor, William Bryan, 52, all charged with murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment in the fatal shooting of Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia. I know, it's just one location, but come on, people. Vaccinated, eh? You know, vaccinated people under age 60 are dying from all causes at twice, get it now, twice the rate of unvaccinated people in the United Kingdom. I don't know how to explain this other than vaccine-caused mortality, said New York Times reporter Alex Barrison. Barrison, the author of a series of books on government responses to the pandemic, noted the most recent death rate per 100,000 for the unvaccinated in Britain, 0.9%, while the rate for the vaccinated, 2.2%. The pandemic is working. And those, well, never mind. I listened on Sunday to Pastor Billy Crone there at Sunrise Bible Church. The whole message about how you are indeed being conditioned now for the next phase will be the chip. Yeah, they're in your hand or whatever. I mean, we're doing the mask thing. We are being very obedient. The world with like little sheep following along. So it'll be easy to get folks set up for the chip. I'm going to be gone, and the rest of you that are saved will too. It's an unusual, confusing world we live in, isn't it? Well, here is another step of what they're thinking about with the government. See, guys like me are causing other folks, and I'm small potatoes. Let's go to the Tucker Carlsons and some of the other people. They want to track down, that's the words, track down and deliver real justice to those that have distributed disinformation about COVID-19. That's anything contrary to the government and Dr. Fauci's plan, yeah. I'm worried here, says Francis Collins, the chief of the National Institutes of Health. That's what he told public radio. The thing that worries me most is the way in which this misinformation and, frankly, disinformation has become prominent in the face of this public health crisis, and it's been manipulated in many situations for political reasons in a way that is turning our culture into a war zone, something really serious. We need to track down and deliver justice. There you go. Hey, is this a threat? An environmental activist has warned about the next step in the fight for the green agenda in the world, and it could include blowing up pipelines. Then this guy backed off. He's from Canada. David Suzuki made that statement over the weekend, and some said that's got to be a threat. If leaders don't act on global warming, called climate change, because, well, the globe doesn't appear to be warming. He said pipelines are going to be blown up. We're in deep doo-doo. Next stage after this going to be pipelines being blown up if our leaders don't pay attention to what's happening. Yep, there you go. Oh, Joe Biden's going to release some oil reserves or whatever. We got more oil than we know what to do with. But, yeah, he's going to release enough that keeps the country going for an extra 48 hours. Wow, Joe, you've come out of the basement again. And no, it did you see? And he's reading the teleprompter and he actually started reading the instructions on the tele. Oh, Joe, my goodness. So what are we going to do now? Hey, prominent, get that operative word there, liberal, get that one, pundit and writer Jonathan Chait believes President Joe Biden is on the brink of absolute failure and would be the decided underdog if President Trump comes back in the next election. Chait doesn't blame Biden himself. Nope. Insisting the president has not abandoned the political center. Instead, he contends Biden is trapped. That's what's happened to Joe Biden. He's trapped between a well-funded left-wing socialist group that has poisoned the party's image, with many of its former supporters and centrists unable to conceive of their job in any other terms save valets for the business elite. Biden's party has not veered too far left or too far right, so much as it has simply just come apart at the seams. Is that what's happened? I'm glad somebody told us exactly what's happening. Thank you from that far left pundit. Good. No, I've already used that line, haven't I? Okay, today's dirty word of the day prior to Thanksgiving, Trump. Today's dirty thought, Donald Trump, President, 2024. Oh, yeah, they're driving them crazy. Well, we talked to you about the West Coast yesterday, smash and grab at some of the best places, entire gangs, 30, 40, 50 people coming in, smash and grab it, running. Well, over to the East Coast, an 82-year-old man was surrounded and assaulted by a group of people riding dirt bikes and ATVs in Boston. Police are seeking the public's help in identifying the suspect. The victim, a Brookline man suffering serious injuries, remains hospitalized today. Saw another video, and this is getting typical, where some teenagers come up to a man in a wheelchair and start beating on him, and he tries to fight back, and they threw the wheelchair over and robbed him of everything. Didn't kill him, but, oh, where is my gun? I'm telling you, people, it is getting absolutely insane in the new America. It's filled with a flood of evil. Don't kid yourself. It's not la-la land. It is bad out there. Oh, and it wasn't that long ago. No one would stand up for Kyle Rittenhouse. One Christian from the Midwest stepped up to pay his bails so he could go home and be with his mom. That was the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. Oh, this is a good one. The devil saw me, had my head down, and thought he had won. Until I said, amen. Here it comes, this Friday. They call it Black Friday. A day shoppers are willing to trample over one another for material things, just a day after celebrating what they were thankful for. Uh-huh. And there's a cute painting of a pig on my Facebook page. Today, I'm thankful that I am not a turkey. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. That's good. And who said that? Perhaps the best idea and thoughts for the day. You be a rebel. You get married. You start a family. You love Jesus Christ. Teach your kids to think for themselves. Buy some land. Turn off the radio and television news. And refuse to live in fear. I like it. Is that Johnny Mathis singing Winter Wonderland? Details on Thanksgiving right after this important message. Let's see, two requests for friends. Thank you. From Middlesboro, Kentucky. Must be listening on WMIK. Thanks so much. More and more folks in that part of the country getting in touch. But I haven't heard from you yet. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Prayed for many of you today. The list too long to go through the names, but I prayed for you. You are my Facebook friend, and I know You're praying for us. Get on board, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N, and thank this station for carrying the broadcast Hello World every day at this time. It's such a blessing to come to you. We couldn't be here. You wouldn't be hearing us without this Christian radio station. Thank you very, very much. God bless. I mean it. I'm sorry, I didn't give it to you. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Be my friend. Well, I've shared with you many times my love for the Christmas season. I mean, really, so many reasons to get excited, and people do. But last week, one of our big stations here in Fort Wayne started playing nonstop Christmas music. You think that's too early? I used to start officially doing two things, putting up the Christmas lights and listening to Christmas music the day before Halloween. Just a tradition that we had here. Hey, judging by the holiday's name coming up, Thanksgiving, the way we celebrate that seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? I mean, what in the world could be simpler than counting your many blessings one by one and saying a prayer of thanks for all of them? That seems right, doesn't it? But the beauty and the simplicity of that day have for many become complicated by a host of things that just divert our attention from the object of our gratitude. The Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about here. Expressing thanks can be difficult when our mind is preoccupied with expectations, our own as well as others. Maybe a loved one isn't there to celebrate with us this year, or hot-button issues aren't given the day off. Add to that the strain of a heavy travel day, getting the jump on Christmas shopping, and no wonder it's so common for Thanksgiving to be a high-stress occasion. Are you ready? Do you know what you're going to do this year? For the first time, we're thinking maybe going out rather than having it at home. It's a lot of work, and we're getting older and a bit tired, and, well, you know. You know, the truth is, on a day set aside for being grateful, many people just feel absolutely miserable. In fact, Christians are no exception. Many of us experience the gloom that comes with the holiday season, no matter how cheerful we may be on any other given day. However, regardless of our feelings, the Bible tells us to constantly, and I mean constantly, give thanks to the Lord. You can read Psalm 100, verse 4, Philippians 4, 6, Colossians 3, 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, and the verses just keep on coming. You know, two reasons many of us don't get the principle of thanksgiving right are, well, somewhat the opposite of the other. We give thanks. Now get this. We give thanks only for the things that we feel thankful for. Does that make sense? Well, sure it does. We speak words of thanksgiving out of a habit without really, and I mean really, truthfully, feeling grateful, right? In the first case, we fall short of the goal, for the Word of God lays it out for us, namely to, oh, give thanks. Are you serious, Lord? Give thanks for everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in the second case, we are behaving religiously on the outside without being transformed on the inside. Instead of giving the Lord our gratitude, we're offering Him some platitudes. There you go, Lord. It's easy to feel grateful when the circumstances in our life, oh, they look sunny, and when the Lord answers a prayer with a clear yes, for instance. When an ailing loved one is miraculously healed, a job opportunity becomes a sure thing in your life, and your child decides to get saved and follow Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul has said, everything. That may not seem logical or even possible. How can you give thanks when your teenager's rebelling? When there's a coworker who constantly undermines you, your neighbor is a jerk, you feel as if you're drowning in debt. You don't feel it. It's real. You are drowning in debt. You know, just one of the wonderful mysteries about knowing Jesus Christ is that we are able to do something the world would deem crazy or absolutely weak. What's wrong with you? What are we talking about? To give thanks in difficult circumstances. We know that our hardships are great opportunities for reflecting God's love and setting an example of humility and gratitude, right? And yet many of us still find it so hard not to grumble over minor inconveniences. What is my problem? If we find ourselves complaining instead of recognizing God's hand in every given situation, there may be a weak link in our connection with the Lord, like what? Well, greed. We're not satisfied with what we have and are unable to feel grateful until we have everything we want and all the ducks are lined up. Sorry about that. Maybe a lack of faith? We doubt that God is working over us and fear that our current situation will ultimately result in great harm to us. Yep. Entitlement. Oh, we're entitled. That's a big word today. We feel that we've earned or deserved any good thing that's come into our life, and therefore we don't see the need to thank anyone for our blessings, right? How about this one? I used to preach on this all the time in my revival meetings. Pride. We believe we shouldn't have to suffer, and we feel resentful when God lets us face those trials in life. Maybe we have tunnel vision. We are blind to the suffering of those in worse circumstances than ours. People who would be glad to have just a fraction of the privileges that you enjoy. Can you think of some other reason that you might fail to feel gratitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ in any given situation? What am I supposed to do? Can you relate to this list of five things? Sure you can. If so, what might you do to address the problem? In what way do Proverbs 11:28 and Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, look those up, relate to these things I just shared? And what does Scripture suggest that we do, like Jeremiah 29:11-14? I need to ask the Lord to reveal anything that might be hindering me from recognizing all that I should be thankful for. I need to confess any unwillingness to express gratitude for circumstances that seem just unpleasant or unwelcome in my life, and they come all the time, don't they? Thomas A. Kempis said, "Be thankful for the smallest blessing, and you'll deserve to receive greater ones. Value the least gifts no less than the greatest gifts, and simple graces as special favors. If you remember the dignity of the giver, no gift will seem small or mean, for nothing can be valueless that is given by Almighty God, the Most High." How may these precious words apply to you? You know, you need to take time. We're going to do it this month. Write out a gratitude list, maybe today, but compile one with a twist. Instead of making note of the obvious blessings you have in your life, the things you like and the things that you enjoy, write down all the things you're, tempted to complain about, huh? Each day, focus on one or two of those. Pray about those things and ask God to help you to be grateful, even if you can't immediately recognize the blessings in those situations. And before Thanksgiving gets here, try to come up with one reason that you can give thanks for each of those things on your list. And meditate, and maybe memorize Psalm 95, verse 1 through 7. Through Jesus Christ, we can do the things the world deems crazy or weak, giving thanks to difficult and troubling circumstances. Thank you for your message, Lord. And how about this? You know there's a big generation gap when you tell your kid or grandkid, "Hey, hang up the phone." That'll make you feel about 95 today. Hang up the phone? What does that mean? And here's something to consider as we get together on Facebook. If you don't have a crazy Facebook friend, you are the crazy Facebook friend. Wait a minute, is it Thursday already? The weeks are just flying by. Life is short, my friend. Thank you for joining us every day for Hello World at this time, and thank you for telling all those other people you are a blessing. Well, that's it. I've had my say for another day. What, November the 24th? Here a Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. Is there such a thing? Until tomorrow, Thanksgiving, God bless you. Have yourself a great one.